Harpreet did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. In construction across one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, the work of building homes sits undone while the people who could do that work cannot access the training that would connect them to it. Ealing Southall faces a housing crisis and a skills gap simultaneously, two problems that should solve each other but cannot meet. Here is what happened when Harpreet tried to bridge that gap herself. I grew up watching my dad fix engines in the garage behind our house. He taught me that everything broken could be made whole again if you understood how it worked and had the right tools. When I was 16, he showed me the photo my grandmother kept of her old street before they knocked it down. 30 identical terraced houses where 30 families had lived for generations. The council said they'd replace them with modern homes that working families could afford. That was 1998. The site is still empty. After school, I spent 5 years in my uncle's electrical repair shop, learning to rewire old houses and fix broken circuits. But I kept thinking about that photograph. I wanted to build the homes that never got built, not just maintain the ones that were already there. In January 2023, I saw advertisements everywhere about skills shortages in construction. The government said Britain needed more electricians to wire the new houses. I thought, here's my chance to be part of the solution. I applied to the Construction Industry Training Board for funding. I'd read about apprenticeships and skills development, about government commitment to training the workforce Britain needed. The response came back within 2 weeks. Applications are currently closed due to budget constraints following Treasury spending reviews. That was it. No timeline for reopening, no alternative suggestions, just a closed door with a financial excuse. I tried Ealing Council next. They were building new developments across the borough. Surely they needed electricians and had training programs. The housing team was sympathetic but clear. All our training is contracted through central government schemes. We can't influence their allocation. They gave me a number for the regional coordinator, who told me the same thing. Decisions were made in Whitehall, not at local level. By May, I was getting desperate. West London College ran electrical courses. I went there directly, thinking I could just pay my own way and worry about the debt later. The admissions officer was honest. We have places available, but there are no funding streams open to individual applicants right now. Without CITB or council sponsorship, the course fees are £8,000. I was earning £300 a week in temporary work. £8,000 might as well have been £80,000. Summer passed in a blur of warehouse shifts and cleaning jobs. In September, I tried the Department for Work and Pensions. My advisor was kind but firm. Construction training isn't a priority pathway in our current budget allocation. We can offer you retail or care work placements. I explained about the housing shortage, about the skills gap the government itself was advertising. She shrugged. The courses aren't funded. I can't create funding that doesn't exist. Then in November, I ran into Damon. We'd been at school together, and he'd just finished electrical training in North London. Same qualification I wanted, same career path, but his college had been allocated funding through a different regional scheme. "You should try again," he said. "I heard there are loads of empty places because people don't know about them." I went back to West London College. The same admissions officer remembered me. This time, I asked directly, "Are there unfilled training places?" She hesitated, then nodded. 40 electrical places this term. CITB didn't allocate funding to London boroughs with housing targets. The logic was that areas with development pressure would be covered by private sector training. But the private developers aren't running courses, they're importing qualified workers from other regions. She walked me through the building to show me the workshops. Rows of electrical training bays, the equipment still wrapped in plastic. Cable drums stacked in corners. Circuit boards waiting for students who never came. Through the window, I could see the new housing development going up across the road. Polish and Romanian electricians doing the work that I could be trained to do, but wasn't allowed to train for. That's when I stopped accepting the excuse. The people existed. Me, and dozens like me who'd inquired about training. The facilities existed, those empty workshops with unused equipment. The need existed. 3,000 families on Ealing's housing waiting list and developers crying out for skilled workers. The government that prints every pound note in my wallet was telling me it couldn't find enough of those notes to connect these three things together. The absurdity hit me like a revelation. The same Treasury that had just guaranteed billions for bank rescues was saying it couldn't afford to train electricians. The same government that issues every pound sterling was rationing pounds as though they came from somewhere else. This wasn't a financial problem. It was a political choice dressed up as accounting. I used to think there's no money was just a fact, like saying there's no rain or the shop is closed. Now I hear it differently. The government that creates the currency chose not to create enough of it to train the people who were standing ready to work. Every time someone told me about budget constraints, they were really telling me about priority constraints. The money existed for what they wanted to fund. It didn't exist for what they chose not to fund. I'm still here, still watching the empty workshops and the housing crisis exist side by side. Still seeing the skills shortage and the unemployed people who could fill those skills gaps if someone in Westminster decided to spend the pounds that would connect them. I know now that my story isn't unique to Ealing Southall. It's the story of every constituency where needs and people and solutions exist in the same place, while civil servants explain that the government has run out of the currency it creates. What Harpreet experienced, it has a name: cherry picking. This is when decision makers select only the examples that support their preferred conclusion while ignoring overwhelming evidence to the contrary. History shows us how this works in other contexts. Tobacco companies spent decades citing the few studies that questioned smoking's health risks while ignoring thousands that proved the connection to cancer. They weren't evaluating evidence fairly. They were hunting for any scrap that justified continuing profitable harm. In Harpreet's case, every time she was told construction training couldn't be funded, officials were cherry-picking the rare examples where public spending had disappointing results. They'd cite failed training schemes from other regions or other decades to justify never investing in current opportunities. The objection other councils tried building housing and it failed ignores that Vienna, Singapore, and every major UK city until 1980 built council housing successfully at scale, but selectively focuses on isolated failures to justify permanent inaction. They treated spending as inherently risky while ignoring the overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does invest in skills and infrastructure. The cherry-picked failures became the excuse for perpetual underfunding, while the successes were dismissed as exceptions. In reality, the UK government issues its own currency and can fund any training program where the real resources exist. Trainers, equipment, willing students. In Harpreet's constituency, all those resources were sitting idle. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Ealing Southall ranks 96 out of 543 English constituencies by deprivation, placing it in the second most deprived decile, English Indices of Deprivation 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 649 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £18.9 million, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.